Welcome. I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is your call. Roughly 10,000 baby boomers will turn 65 every day for the next 20 or so years. Like most Americans, they haven't saved enough for retirement. Of the people between 55 and 64, one-third haven't saved anything for retirement. That's according to the National Institute on Retirement Security. Two-thirds of retirees rely on Social Security for the majority of their income. The average monthly benefit is a modest $1,234 a month, or about $14,800 a year. And many older Americans on fixed incomes are being squeezed by high costs for housing, food, and medicine. At the same time, retirees are not claiming all of their Social Security benefits. The Center for Retirement Research at Boston College found that married couples forego nearly $10 billion in annual benefits, largely because they don't know how their benefits work. Social Security is a massive program with 2,728 rules. Today's guests say those rules are ripping off recipients. In the new best-selling book, Get What's Yours, The Secrets to Maxing Out Your Social Security, Lawrence Kotlikoff, Philip Moeller, and Paul Solman offer secrets to maximize your benefits and earn up to thousands of dollars more each year. They write, quote, "This book is for nearly every one of you who's ever earned a paycheck and wants every Social Security benefit dollar to which you are entitled. Entitled because you paid for it. You earned it. It's yours. It can even be yours if you never contributed a penny to the system, but have or had a spouse, living or dead, who did. It may even be yours if you spent some or all of your career working for employers who did not have to participate in Social Security," end quote. Today, we are talking about the book, Get What's Yours, The Secrets to Maxing Out Your Social Security, with Paul Solman, business and economics correspondent for the PBS NewsHour. And Paul joins us from Boston. Hi, Paul. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Rose. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, please.
We're also joined by Philip Moeller, veteran journalist who covers Social Security and retirement issues for Money Magazine. Philip is a research fellow at the Sloan Center on Aging and Work at Boston College, and he joins us from the studios of WCVE Radio in Richmond, Virginia. Hi, Philip. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Rose. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's great to have you. So this book was really born on the tennis court. Paul, you and your co-author, Lawrence Kotlikoff, were taking a break from tennis, talking about Social Security and the simple question, how old are you and your wife? Paul, talk to us about what happened that day and the conversation you had.
Well, I wouldn't exactly call it tennis. It's sort of on a tennis court, I'll give you that.
Okay.
But we were just hitting the ball around as we always do. Larry often interrupts. It's Larry Kotlikoff. That's how Phil and I and the rest of the world know him. And he said, by the way, what are you doing about Social Security? I was about 65 at the time, although I'm not sure he knew that. But at any rate, I was, you know, I've been an economics correspondent for 38 years, 30 of them for the past 30 for the PBS NewsHour. I figured I knew everything I needed to know, and so I sort of smugly smiled and said, oh, don't worry, my wife and I have it all figured out. We're waiting until 70, because 70 is when you collect your maximum possible benefit. And Larry looked at me, and he said, oh, really, what about spousal benefits? And I smiled again, and perhaps condescendingly, and said, spousal benefits, we're not going to be eligible for spousal benefits. And Larry said, almost exactly, I'm going to make you $50,000 in the next minute and a half. And I'm not even sure it took that long. And he explained a very simple strategy, which is the strategy that people, that's the $10 billion you were talking about in your introduction, that people are leaving on the table. It involves, in our case, a twist on the strategy, but it's pretty simple even in our case. And it was simply that my wife, who's a year older than I, when she turned 66, full retirement age, she simply called Social Security, made an appointment to speak with them on the phone, registered for Social Security, so she was in the system, and then she said, but I don't want to take the benefits yet. I want to suspend them. So she's still waiting till 70. Now, a year later, I turn 66. I call Social Security, make an appointment to talk to them on the phone. Couldn't have been nicer. And I say, I now want to, at age 66, start taking spousal benefits as the spouse of my wife on her full retirement benefit. That's 50% of her benefit. Her yearly benefit at that time, at age 66, was about $24,000 a year. So I would get $12,000 a year, and I would get, and did get, $12,000 a year for the 4 years between 66 and 70, at which time I again called Social Security, this wasn't too long ago, and said, okay, now I want to be on my own benefit, which is more than $12,000 a year, and I'd waited until 70, and they said, fine, and that's what happened. When I originally called, the woman I spoke to, very nice, but she said, sir, I don't think you can do that. And I said, well, I didn't used to think that either, but I know I can. She said, just a moment. She checked with a technical expert, supervisor of some sort, came back and said, not only can you do that, sir, but thank you very much, because I didn't know that, and now I will be able to tell everybody who calls in the future, because we want you to have the benefits to which you're entitled. But she didn't know, because there are, as you said, 2,728 rules, and lots of other Social Security people don't know either.
Wow. And so you must have learned so much writing this book, given that you didn't know that basic piece of information, and so many other Americans don't, because $10 billion is just sitting on the table.
Yeah. Well, Phil can talk to how much we learned. I mean, I think he became more of an expert than I even. But yes, I thought I knew. I mean, I thought I was, I had thought through Social Security, understood that I was waiting till 70. Most, take a guess, Rose, as to what percentage of Americans wait until 70 to take their full, absolute maximum retirement benefit.
I mean, it's probably high. People probably want to wait. But
yeah, so what would you guess?
Well, 80?
Yeah, the number is less than 2%.
Oh, wow.
2%. It's less than 2%. Almost nobody waits. So I thought I was being really smart. I was part of that rare, I didn't know how rare, a minority of waiting. And even I didn't know this most basic strategy.
I'm guessing that a lot of people can't wait because they need the money.
Oh, of course.
Right.
Of course. But Phil, talk to that if you would.
Well, the first thing I want to say is that when I heard about the story about Larry and Paul on the tennis court, I was just ecstatic that I had decided not to take up tennis myself. One of the things to keep in mind is that $10 billion figure, while it's really impressive, only applies to spousal benefits that aren't properly claimed. There are additional billions of dollars that people fail to properly claim because they either claim benefits at too young an age, or they don't claim the right kind of benefit to which they're entitled. And so it's a much, much bigger number that we're really talking about in terms of how much people would get if they optimize their benefits, which, of course, is what we try to go through clearly in the book.
Yeah, and I completely endorse that. I mean, Phil is completely right. That $10 billion is just, I don't know if it's the tip of the iceberg, but it certainly encompasses only part of, and perhaps a small part of, what people are neglecting to do to maximize their benefits.
So the $10 billion applies to married couples, but there's an additional billions for other people who don't know their rights when it comes to Social Security benefits. I wanted to ask you about the married couple $10 billion. What about gay couples? Can they also claim these benefits? How does that work?
Yes,
absolutely. They
Phil,
can.
You want to fill people in on how this works? Of course, it's a state-by-state issue, and it becomes extremely complex and is changing all the time. But Phil is...
Well, one of the interesting phenomena that occurred when we started writing and researching this book, there were only a handful of states in the country that had legalized gay marriage. By the time we finished the manuscript, more than 30 states had legalized same-sex marriage. And by the time it was published, the figure was approaching 40 states. So same-sex marriage is becoming universal in this country. For those states in which it's allowed, your rights to Social Security are exactly the same as they would be for opposite-sex marriages. However, if you live in one of the decreasing number of states where it's not legal, you have to be very careful, because it could be that you would be denied the ability to take benefits if you lived in a state that didn't sanction or recognize same-sex marriages. That's just something you have to be very careful about. One other little wrinkle that we talk about in the book, Social Security has a rule that lets you basically have a one-year window for what most people would commonly call a do-over. If you've claimed Social Security and for any reason within a year of that claiming date, you decide, you know what, I think I changed my mind, you can repay all the monies that you've gotten from Social Security, including any Medicare premiums, and you can wipe the slate clean. Hmm. Well, for same-sex couples, this could be a very significant opportunity for them. So any same-sex couple could, if they had made a claiming decision before they got married or before marriage was legalized, they could go back and change that. And then they can go back in at a later date and still have the ability to take this optimal mix of benefits that we describe in the book. Because so many states have just recently approved same-sex marriage, there could be a lot of people who are in this boat. We just want them to be aware of their rights.
Phil Moeller is a veteran journalist covering Social Security and retirement issues for Money Magazine, and Paul Salmon is business and economics correspondent for the PBS NewsHour. He's been there for 30 years. He's been an economics correspondent for 38 years, and even Paul did not know about how to maximize Social Security benefits, which means that most of us probably don't either. So if you have questions about Social Security, if you have been in contact with the Social Security office, what was your experience like? If you don't understand the system, you're not alone. There are 2,728 rules. We'll talk about why that is. We'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. What have your experiences been with Social Security? So many people rely on Social Security for the majority of their income. And if you have any questions, if you're about to retire, thinking about when to retire, we'd love to hear from you. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. So let's step back and talk about the importance of Social Security, because when I was reading your book, I was thinking about the conversation we often hear in the media, especially among politicians, mostly Republicans, who talk about wanting to cut Social Security or, you know, privatize Social Security. Now, when those conversations happen, it is so rare to hear that the average monthly benefit is just over $1,200 a month or yeah. $14,800 a year. Yeah. And as a journalist, I mean, Paul, I feel like journalists who are covering this should include that in every story about Social Security.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Rose, that number, when we talk to people in person or on, you know, in a radio show like this, that number almost always surprises the host or the person we're talking to. So I agree with you completely. I should point out, though, that there are ways to fix the system that are not Republican initiated in any way, shape, or form that would have a very positive impact on its increased viability going forward. The one that I mentioned time and again, and done reporting on for, I don't know, 15 years or more, is the what's called the tax max. That is the maximum on the income that you make, the maximum that gets taxed by Social Security. Remember, Social Security is a big tax.
Right.
It's a flat tax of 12.4% on your income. You pay half of it. Your employer pays half of it. But that's, you know, that's more than tithing, right? It's 12.5% just about. So the way the system works, there's a maximum of income at which gets taxed at that rate. It goes up every year. But right now, that maximum is at $118,500. That covers about 82% or something of all earned income in America. Used to cover 90%. Why the difference? Because of the growing inequality of income, right? There's lots more income earned above $118,500 than there used to be.
Right.
Right. And if all that happened was that Social Security was reformed so that the tax max went up to cover 90% of all earned income, not 100%, but just 90%, which is what it did about, 15, 20 years ago, a third of all of Social Security's financial problems would be solved by that act alone.
Mm.
If I could just pop in.
Yeah, go ahead, Phil.
There are lots of other proposals that are not draconian in terms of their effect on people that can also substantially improve the financial outlook of the system. If, for example, to add on what Paul said, if you simply stop taxing or stop forgiving taxes on health insurance premiums, which a lot of people have proposed in terms of tax reform, just exposing those health insurance dollars to Social Security payroll taxes would close by itself another third of the loophole. Some people might oppose that, so maybe you don't do the full third. If you tinkered with retirement ages in a non-punitive way, you would also close a substantial portion of the shortfall. And in fact, increasingly, the progressive wing in the Democratic Party has moved from simply defending Social Security against cuts to saying, wait a minute, this program is so important, we should expand benefits.
Right.
And if you look at the menu of choices for this, there's plenty of choices that would allow us to do that in a helpful way.
And so many people are calling for the payroll tax increase. So, you know, meaning a billionaire would pay a different amount than everybody else. Where's the political will for this, Paul? I mean, what are you hearing on Capitol Hill?
I don't spend any time on Capitol Hill, so I'm hearing precisely nothing, Rose. But, I mean, I do read about these things. What Phil just said is true. The progressive wing of the Democratic Party, for years, this was Social Security was famously known as the third rail of politics, and so you did never discuss changing it in any way, shape, or form. But people are beginning to understand on the progressive wing of the Democratic Party that, A, there's a constituency for increasing benefits because of just what you say, how shockingly low the average benefit actually is and how more and more reliant people are on those benefits. There's just there's an opening to do something which says, yes, we can change Social Security without having to privatize it or cut the benefits, which would, of course, especially affect people at the bottom of the pay scale. So you certainly hear more about it. Whether or not it's politically viable in this country at this time, you don't want to ask me because I'd have no idea. But you hear more from the left about changing Social Security in progressive ways than you ever used to, as Phil said.
We have a question from Jay in San Mateo who wants to know how long you have to be married to claim spousal benefits.
10 years.
And
10 years and a day, right?
No, less than that, Paul. 10 years is if you get divorced and want
to claim benefits. I misunderstood. Yes, right.
There's so many numbers. You have to be married.
Sorry, Phil.
I think it's like 9 months or a year. It's one figure for spousal benefits, and the other time is for survivor benefits. And I apologize. Again, I'm confused. But it's a short time.
Okay. Well, thank you.
So if you're married, I was answering the question, Rose, as if it were somebody who was divorced, because I get that question so often. If you're divorced, you have to have been married for 10 years. But if you are currently married, you only have to have been married for, I can't remember either, it's either 9 months or a year. And sometimes, can it be less? Phil, we have an example in our book where somebody dies before.
Yes, we do. We have an example where there are exceptions to this rule. And all I can say, because you have a family-oriented show, is that I don't want to go into the circumstances under which this individual passed away. But it makes for very good reading.
All right. Well, thank you for the question, Jay. Today, we are talking about the new book, Get What's Yours, The Secrets to Maxing Out Your Social Security, with Paul Salmon, business and economics correspondent for the PBS NewsHour, and Philip Moeller. He covers Social Security and retirement issues for Money Magazine. And let's go next to Ruby in Mill Valley. Hi, Ruby. Welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning. I'm just thinking about that last provocative comment from your guest. Makes you want to read the book, doesn't it? So,
Page seven, Ruby.
Oh, Mr. Salmon, we love your reports on Thursday.
Oh, thank you so much. It's very nice.
Ever Judy, who's he what's, you know, it's
Woodruff.
Early,
Woodruff.
Thank you so much. Whenever she says, and it's our usual Thursday with Paul Salmon, I'm like, oh, yeah. So, it's so informative and so creative and entertaining. We weren't on the tennis court. We were sitting around having dinner with friends who are financial planners, and they're a couple years younger than I, and they're saying, blah, 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 66, and then you get half of, blah, blah, blah's Social Security. And I'm like, what are you talking about? what are you talking about? So we were so excited about it because we live very, you know, close to the bone. All our money goes to NPR stations. And basically, you know, I stopped buying mascara. Let's just be frank. So I'm going to Goodwill for old makeup. So it was such a bonanza. And my husband, when he turned 66, I'm older than he. He's wearing out. I need a younger one now. But the first three people he called, representatives, had no idea what
was going on. Yeah, see, that's,
idea. And you have to be persistent. And so I have two questions. One question is, you know, you get every year that printout from Social Security. Mm-hmm. I assume everybody gets it. I've heard some people don't. I don't know why. But it tells you how much you earned in your lifetime year by year, and it's really scary to see how much you have not earned. Mm-hmm. And but it says what you'll get at 66, 60, you know, 270. Mm-hmm. Why do they not say anything about the spousal benefit? Why don't they want you to know about the spousal benefit?
We should have our co-author Larry on because he will now, this is the point at which he will go into a rant where neither Phil and I are disposed to do so. There are so many rules, frankly, that if Social Security were to tell you all the benefits to which you're entitled, why, they would write a book about the size and get what's yours. I mean, they would have to.
But you wouldn't be able to understand it.
That's true. Their prose is, you know, it's government bureaucracies. So the answer is really that it's such a complicated system that once you start telling people all the rules, why then, where do you stop?
Well, and how did we get to a point where we have this program with 2,728 rules? Why is it such a complicated program?
Well, glad we don't have Larry on for this, because Larry will again rail about, you know, the system and its over complexity. I have a completely different take, and Phil may be, well, we'll find out where Phil is in a moment. But this program began in 1935. It was an attempt to provide insurance for old people against the worst thing that can happen to them, which is outliving their savings and being, you know, truly penurious, really poor in old age. It added disability. It added spouses in 1939 because of what happens to a surviving spouse. That's a period in which, you know, the man is working, basically, and the woman isn't, right? It's even before World War II and Rosie the Riveter and all of that stuff. And so as the society became more complex and larger, and we wanted to include more people, and we were worried about different kinds of situations, and more situations developed, naturally the law developed and rules developed, like the tax code or like the criminal code. And it's just a function, in my mind, of the complexity of a very large, rights-based, pluralistic society such as the United States. It's a good thing that we have lots of rules, not a bad thing, but it does make it awfully difficult to navigate.
We're going to take a quick break. Today we're talking about the new book, Get What's Yours, The Secrets to Maxing Out Your Social Security. Billions of dollars in benefits goes unclaimed every year, but help is on the way. This is Your Call, and we'll be back after this.
I'm Matt Martin, here with David LaTulipe, in this brief break in the middle of Your Call, asking for your support on this penultimate day of our May membership campaign. It's a great time to support local public radio as we push toward our goal.
One of my favorite words, Matt, penultimate. We're ending it tomorrow, no matter what. 800-525-9917. Another fascinating hour here on local public radio. I'm riveted to the radio myself, learning what I can get once I hit that magical age. It's a special thing. Get what's yours can be yours for a $120 gift to KALW, 800-525-9917 or at KALW.org.
If listening to this conversation has raised questions for yourself, of course, people have been calling in asking those questions, but this book will let you go in depth and think about your own particular situation and how it will work. The number to call is 800-525-9917, 800-525-9917 or KALW.org. This is the kind of information that you keep coming. And you know what? If you've been waiting, You've been saying, you know, I'm going to give. Believe me, tomorrow will come and go in no time. You want to be part of keeping your call and local public radio strong and growing. Now's the time to get involved.
Maybe you know someone that's getting close to retirement age and doesn't know these secrets. Well, you can learn the secrets along with your friend or just offer the book to them. $120 gift to local public radio. This gift is yours. Get what's yours. Learning the secrets about Social Security and maxing it out. 800-525-9917. I'm sure we're going to be learning more in this next uninterrupted half hour with Rose.
We've been getting so much response from listeners this morning. Thanks to everyone who's contributed. We've raised over $265,000 for local public radio. Now help us close out this campaign. And at the $120 level, you can go to KALW.org if that's easier for you. Get yourself this book, Get What's Yours, or call 800-525-9917. Now, back to Rose.
800-525-9917. And thanks.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, we'll have a conversation with Ralph Nader. He's out with a new book, Unanswered Letters to the President. It's a book of letters that he has written to former President George W. Bush and President Obama, and they didn't answer Ralph. So we'll talk to him about the letters that he wrote tomorrow. Friday, it's our media roundtable. We'll be talking about media coverage of activism. We'll focus on the Kai activists in Seattle who were protesting Arctic oil drilling. They have met Shell's massive offshore drilling rig as it arrived in Seattle. We'll talk about coverage of that. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today, we are talking about the best ways to maximize your Social Security benefits. The biggest source of income for Americans in the last years of their lives is Social Security. But because so many people don't know how to navigate this massive system, billions and billions of dollars in benefits goes unclaimed every year. And we're talking about that with Paul Sommen, business and economics correspondent for the PBS NewsHour, and Philip Moeller. He covers Social Security and retirement issues for Money Magazine. And they're out with a new book, Get What's Yours, The Secrets to Maxing Out Your Social Security. And if you'd like to join us, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. And let's go next to Tom in San Francisco. Hi, Tom. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I wonder if your authors have any comments on a situation that affects a number of people. In California and in 13 other states, there's this law about double dipping, where if you have worked and paid into Social Security at one job and then you change employment and you pay into a state pension and no longer pay into the Social Security, if you take the state pension, your Social Security will be docked a certain amount, depending on a number of factors, the number of years you've worked and the number of years you've paid into the state pension system. It affects people only in those 14 states, is my understanding. It also affects only certain employees, that is, teachers, firemen, policemen, and railway workers. And you can avoid it if you have paid into the Social Security 30 years or more, not the 30 quarters that qualifies you for Social Security when you first begin to take it, but 30 full years. I'm in that position, and I seem to be getting no support in trying to find out exactly what are the chances of changing that. It seems very odd to me that an entitlement like Social Security can be overridden by a state law.
Well, Tom, thank you for calling. We have a similar question from Roz, who's a municipal employee for a city that doesn't pay into Social Security. And, Phil, in your book, you've got a whole chapter on this, government pensions and windfall penalties.
Yeah, we do. And although the caller said this provision is limited to a number of states, it actually is a national it's a national phenomenon. And Social Security enacted some provisions a number of years ago to deal with so-called double dipping. And actually, on paper, they don't seem that outrageous. There was a situation where I'll give you an example where somebody might have worked for a local government and also had where they didn't pay Social Security taxes and also had some Social Security earnings, but they were pretty modest. because Social Security is a very progressive system in terms of its payment rates, if that person filed for Social Security, they would get benefits that were actually pretty substantial compared with their Social Security earnings. Actually, they would be getting benefits that some people thought were an unfair windfall. So what this windfall provision did
would be,
is...
The reason, I'm interrupting for a second, Phil, to just explain.
Sure.
It's because it would be assumed that they were relatively poor because they had low Social Security earnings, not that
Absolutely.
They had earnings from somewhere else. Go ahead, Phil, I'm sorry.
No, but just so because of that... that provision alters the payment formula for Social Security. It doesn't rule it out. It just makes it less generous for those people. And the logic is, well, they're already getting a pension benefit from their other job. They need to have their Social Security adjusted, so it's more fair in relationship to their real economic needs. But having said that, we've gotten loads and loads of questions from people who say, well, this is just not fair. I earned this money. I should be entitled to it. And I heard nothing recently about any efforts to undo this program. It, fortunately or unfortunately, is pretty far down in the list of provisions that people would like to change.
And Roz also writes that government websites are pretty awful in terms of educating people on this. Have you been able to find any good online resources on this issue?
No, it's pretty much why we wrote the book.
Yeah.
it's a book called Get What's Yours.
Yeah.
I want to take a step back and say there are certain ways that government organizations communicate that almost guarantees that you'll have trouble understanding what they say. And I really empathize with them because of the nature of sort of their rules-based communication. It's very hard for them to just use common language and explain things in simple terms. And even though we know that a lot of Social Security people make mistakes when you call them, Social Security gets 3 million inquiries from the public every week. They've been under a lot of budget pressure. They've lost staff. And so they're pretty overworked. So I want to give them sort of a call out and a break, but the reality is that because the rules are so hard and so opaque, again, as Paul said, it's one of the reasons we decided to write the book. If you read the book and read the chapter on these windfall provisions, and then you go back and look at Social Security's documents, little light bulbs will go on because you'll understand what the language means, but you can't really understand it without a program guide. It's just too hard.
Well, thank you for the call. We have an email from a listener who says, is this book for people already on Social Security? I would say it's for anyone, really, even if you're young, thinking about your future, if you've got, you know, maybe parents who are interested in this kind of issue.
Yeah, well, we had dinner with two people last night, my wife and I, who are older than we are, so they were in their 70s, but they have lots of younger friends. And then I was talking to somebody on your staff just this week who said, oh, this is for my parents.
Right.
So there you go.
All right. Well, thank you for the call today. We are talking about the new book, Get What's Yours, The Secrets to Maxing Out Your Social Security Billions of Dollars in Benefits Goes Unclaimed Every Year. Because the system is too complex, it's over 2,700 rules. Today's guests say those rules are ripping off recipients. We're speaking with Paul Salmon, economics correspondent for the PBS NewsHour, and Philip Moeller. He covers Social Security and retirement issues for Money Magazine. You can join us at 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. We had a caller who couldn't stand the line who's a single woman. She says she's afraid she'll have to work for the rest of her life. I mean, we're seeing this everywhere we go, older people working two jobs after they thought they retired because they can't make ends meet. You write about this in the book, but what advice do you have specifically for women and how they can get the most out of Social Security? Phil, do you want to take that one first?
Sure, I'll be happy to. First issue is putting aside whether it's a man or a woman. The first issue is this is a single person. And for this person, there are no spousal benefits. Presuming if they don't have children or they weren't married before, they're really just sort of looking out for themselves. the basic rules of the book are really designed to help people like this. And the three rules of the book that we really tried to emphasize, the first rule is to be patient. Don't take your benefits too early. The second rule, which doesn't apply formally to this person, is make sure you get all the benefits to which you're entitled, which primarily includes spousal benefits. And the third rule is to get the timing right. And I want to spend some time on this. Full retirement age, as Paul alluded to before, is 66 for people nearing retirement now. If you take your benefits earlier than full retirement age, you're hit with early claiming reductions that will last for the rest of your life. So if you can afford to wait till at least age 66, you should do so because you won't be penalized. But if you wait until age 70, benefits at age 70 are 76% higher every month than they are at age 62. So again, for a single woman who's worried about outliving her assets, I guess I would give her a little bit of tough love advice, which is say you really should gut it out for a while because the odds are you're going to live a long, long time. The average longevity of a woman who's 65 is like 21 years, and it's rising every year. And that's the average. The odds of this woman living well into her 90s are substantial.
Right.
And as we know, women do outlive men. So if you can hold out, do so, and your benefits will be higher for the rest of your life. And keep in mind, Social Security benefits are protected from inflation. They have a cost of living adjustment every year, which is not the case with 401k benefits and most other private investments.
And Paul, before you jump in, I just want to read a story from Rose. It's a personal example. Again, she's single. She's 68. She started collecting Social Security when she was 62,
yeah,
even though she knew she would get more if she waited, but she,
yeah,
needed the money. She says she was underemployed, earning less than $1,000 a month. She's gone through all of her savings and 401k by the time,
yeah,
she was 62. So she's collecting $865 a month, but she's unemployed, cannot find a part-time job, so,
yeah,
she's living on an income which only pays her rent and her bills.
Believe me, look, you know, I have been an economics reporter for 38 years, as you have quoted me as having said, and those last 30 at the PBS NewsHour, and I probably cannot count the number of people whom I've talked to, interviewed over that period of time, and particularly since the crash of 08. Who are in that kind of situation. You know, all one can do is sympathize and say, wouldn't it make sense in an increasingly unequal economy like ours to be increasing benefits by taxing, for example, all of Social Security benefits? We didn't talk about that before. Only 85% of Social Security benefits are taxed as income. Why would that be? Why shouldn't it be 100%? And therefore, the people who earn more would be taxed, you know, would at least have an income tax on their Social Security benefits. So I think there are all kinds of ways in which the system isn't nearly as progressive as is sometimes claimed that it is, or as that it could be, or that it certainly, in my personal view, should be in an increasingly income unequal country like ours.
Well, and let's hope this becomes an issue during the presidential debates, because 10,000 people turn 65 every day. We've done so many shows about end-of-life issues, about these issues, and all of the guests say that we're just not prepared for this.
You know, there's a professor at Yale Law School, Ann Alstad, who's going to come out with a book in about a year or so, I think, about Social Security. And one of the proposals in that book that she talks about is that a way in which Social Security would not discriminate against single people. You've now had two callers or, you know, emailers who are single and who, as Phil says, are discriminated against because they cannot get spousal benefits. Why? One possibility is that they get a benefit which they can then designate somebody as the recipient of, should they, for example, die or when they reach a certain age, so that it would not be the case that single people would be discriminated against to the extent they are now.
Well, thank you again for calling in, Rose, and we will continue doing shows about this. We have an email from Pam who says, at 62, I've cut back on work due to health reasons. I'm living on half of my salary. I want to try to maximize my benefits and not take it until later. My ex is still working and is 66. I'm wondering if I can get benefits based on his status. We were married for 11 years.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Bill, you want to expand?
You absolutely can. But be aware that if she takes those benefits before age 66, they will be reduced. They'll be hit by this early claiming reduction, which in the case of spousal benefits is 30%. So, however, it may be that she just can't wait and she needs to take that right away. However, if she claims that benefit, she just has to be very aware that she's not also accidentally triggering her own retirement benefit. She wants to make sure that she's only filing for that ex-spousal benefit based on the earnings record of her former husband.
Will she not be deemed to take her own deemed to be taking her own benefit, Phil?
I'm not sure, Paul, based on the sequence of whether or not her ex-spouse, see, because they're not married anymore, their claiming histories are delinked. If they were married, yes, she would be deemed to be also filing for her own benefit, but I'm not sure in every instance that that would be the case if they're divorced. But what Paul alludes to is this gotcha of Social Security, where if you claim before a full retirement age, you can also be deemed to be claiming simultaneously for all the benefits to which you're entitled. Social Security doesn't give you the full value of those benefits. It pays you an amount that's roughly equal to the greater of the two benefits. So you have to be very careful when you're making any claiming decision before full retirement age. I would just urge her to proceed very carefully, find out what Social Security says her situation is, and then maybe she should go do some more homework to make sure that that is actually the advice she should be following.
All right. Well, thank you for the email. We have a lot of questions from people who have been divorced, are widowed. And in the book, Get What's Yours, there is a section called Divorced, Dark Clouds and Silver Linings. Another one, Widowed, Why Social Security is a Major Women's Issue, Never Married or Divorced Too Soon. So if we can't get to all of your questions and comments, I know those answers are in these chapters of this book.
And Rose, you're in the middle of a pledge drive, and it occurred to me there's a win-win situation. People make the pledge to the station, then they get the book, then they're going to get extra benefits almost surely, or at least often that will be the case, and then they can give some of the extra benefits to the station.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yes, and just to let our listeners in Santa Cruz know, we're on our pledge up here in San Francisco.
And, I see. They don't know.
That's okay. We're joined today by Paul Salmon, economics correspondent for the PBS NewsHour, and Philip Moeller, a veteran journalist who covers these issues for Money Magazine. And we've got...
Hey Rose, can I jump in just
sure,
for a second?
Phil.
I never travel anywhere without my own personal copy of Get What's Yours. It's getting quite dog-eared. But in response to the last question, I actually looked at one of our gotchas in the book, and in fact, deeming does apply to divorce benefits, ex-spousal benefits, if you're under full retirement age. So if she files before 66, she will also be deemed to be filing for her own retirement benefits, which is a big gotcha in our mind. So again, she may absolutely need the money, but once you file for those two benefits, you can never really optimize your own retirement benefits because you will have perhaps unintentionally triggered them at an early age.
All right. Well, thank you for that. What about you have a section called Hidden Benefits for the Disabled. We've got a couple questions about this. Mary Jane writes, I've been on disability since 50, receiving payments through SSDI. I'm now 62. Will my benefits revert to what they would have been prior to disability when I turn 65?
Social Security, when you reach full retirement age, your disability benefits actually become normal retirement benefits, and you are treated as anybody else who had filed for normal retirement benefits. So you aren't penalized. In fact, you actually get a benefit if you file for disability because you don't get hit with these early claiming penalties as you would if you were filing for retirement. So her retirement benefits will continue the way they are, and they won't be reduced for any reason.
That's a great and succinct answer. I should say that when we were wrestling with the issue of disability and all the different cases that we encountered, questions that came in, Phil, you ought to mention your Medicare website column as well as Larry's, because Larry Kotlikoff has been answering questions on my PBS website, Making Sense, a website for about 2.5 years on Social Security, and Phil now answers them on Medicare. But when we were wrestling with disability, we said we'd have to write a whole other book just about disability.
Well, I hope that was helpful for you, Mary Jane. Again, there is a section in the book called Hidden Benefits for the Disabled. We had a caller who's driving. One is to know about immigrants who pay into Social Security.
Well, if they're immigrants who are, if they're legal immigrants, then they're subject to exactly the same standards as, I guess I'm an immigrant. My parents came over to this country from other countries. So there's no difference if you're an immigrant, is there, Phil?
Not that I know of. I mean, again, it depends on your status. And if you're, I hate this phrase, if you're an illegal alien, which is often the way I feel in the United States these days, but if you're an illegal alien, you wouldn't be entitled to those benefits, presumably. So whatever Social Security payroll taxes entitled you to is what you would get.
All right. Well, thank you for that question. Let's go next to Steve in Washington. Hi, Steve. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I had two questions, but the first one that is germane to me is I was told that I could petition to have the deduction for my Medi-Cal Part B dropped. Because I have such an absurdly low monthly payout.
Okay. Phil, do you want to take that one?
I'm not sure what he means by a low monthly payout, but and so I'm not sure where to go with that one, Rose.
It's about $500, the payout.
Do you know anything about
receives?
Medi-Cal, Phil?
I'm still struggling with Medicare, Paul. But the reality is that so if he's taking Part B, which to me is a Medicare provision, there are a lot of income relief programs at the federal level that will reduce your premium for Part B. I don't know of any that will do away with it, but there are income assistance programs for people who have trouble paying the Part B premiums. I do not know the details of how Medi-Cal works. I apologize.
All right. Well, thank you. We'll keep that for a future program. We've got just a couple minutes left, and I wanted to ask you both final thoughts. As you said, Social Security has cut 11,000 positions. About 75,000 workers are handling benefits for 56 million Americans. Phil, in your acknowledgments, you point out that the Social Security Administration didn't talk to you about this book.
That's correct. They decided they wouldn't make any officials available for interviews. They did answer selected questions, but they didn't do so with any kind of pattern of predictability. They'd answer some. They wouldn't answer others. They wouldn't say why. Hmm. Their answers were about as clear as the materials that they post online.
Wow.
That was a joke.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised, sort of surprised to read that. Paul, what are your final thoughts just in terms of what you've learned from this experience and then doing all of these radio shows and getting so many questions from people their benefits?
Well, I mean, we learned what we had suspected. I mean, I think we're a little surprised, actually, at the extent to which this book has sort of taken off. It's still a tiny fraction of the 10,000 people a day who are retiring, okay? But, you know, this book has been a bestseller basically since it was published in the middle of February. And we were surprised at that, although it confirmed our basic assumption, which is that the system is too damn complicated, if you excuse that word. And it's just too hard for people to understand. And, you know, we'd spent a tremendous amount of time and energy trying to make it simple and understandable. Really, as much as anything else, in a kind of a public-spirited way. I don't know, that might sound self-serving, but it's really true. And now when we get this flood of questions, and you know, almost anybody you ever talk to has questions like the ones that you know people have called in or written into your show about.
Well, and we'll continue answering those questions. Paul Salmon and Philip Mueller, authors of Get What's Yours, The Secrets to Maxing Out Your Social Security. Paul and Philip, thank you for joining us, and thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call.